The apostles lived 3 years with Jesus. And for them, that developed a relationship. And in that relationship, Jesus taught them, God is not distant, but he is your Abba, as it was said in the second reading. He is God the Father. I come as the Son. The Father and I are one, and we will send you the Holy Spirit. Now, this is radical for the apostles, because now on Pentecost, they receive the mission, go out. What would it be like if the new pastor comes and says, okay, everybody, now you have to go to another state. You have to go to all of these other areas of the world. We'd be so overwhelmed, we'd change parishes. That we just don't think in those categories. But for the apostles, Jesus is saying, you will go to the ends of the earth. James the apostle stayed. The rest were missionaries to the corners of the world. How difficult that would be. And yet, did they have all the answers? Not at all. There's a saying that says, I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. For the apostles, they had the relationship. That relationship of trust says, I don't know what's all in my future, but I know that God who loves me, has a relationship with me, has sent me his Son, and the Holy Spirit, that word, dwells within me. He will give me the courage that I need to be able to carry out this mission. I use that as a kind of introduction because sometimes I think we think our faith is pious, but it's not alive, it's not real. Who is somebody that you know who has been driven, who has been inspired with that kind of Holy Spirit? As I talk about Casa Hogar, I would like to talk about our founder. Who's the founder of Casa Hogar? Anybody know? Father Joel Balieski, Father Joe Balieski. Here's a man who, as a young boy, lived that relationship. And in that relationship, felt the inspiration, I will go to seminary. He went to seminary, had difficulties. And he made a promise, if I ever get through this, if I ever become a priest, I am going to ask for 5 years in the missions of South America. He was ordained in 1950. In 1956, after several years of asking, he was finally sent, first to Bolivia. He was there for 8 years. The mission continued after him. He came back to this country. A number of years later, people had heard about him, and he was called to Peru, to Lima, to be pastor of a slum that was just beginning. And he would be pastor, the first pastor of 150 to 200,000 people. Now, how do you do that? Well, he would be able to say, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I know that God is with me. And he would say that to the people. We are poor, but God is with us, and therefore he'll get us through this. Another way of saying, I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future, and therefore we can have hope. After many years of working in the slum, he met Pope John Paul. And he shared with him another inspiration. He said, there are so many children that live in the streets, but they are the future mothers and fathers. But how can they be the moms and dads they need to be when they don't even understand family because they're all from broken families, difficult, complicated situations, and they don't have faith? He said, I believe that God is calling me. He was at 62 years of age. He received the inspiration, the approbation, and he began the following year, the orphanage that we now know as Casa, house, Hogar, home. Casa Hogar together means orphanage. Juan Pablo II. 1986, we've been going for 33 years. Father Joe Balieski wanted a more expensive kind of orphanage rather than just a kind of daycare center where you dorm groups of kids. He said, I want to form them so that they can learn family and learn their faith so they can have a future. And therefore, I want a married couple, married in the church, for every eight children. That's a real vocation for the people who come and serve as parents, because they live 24/7 with the children, and they get just about a day off a week. The rest of the time, they are living with the children. The kids that come to us, they come between the ages of 5 and 10. They come from very complicated backgrounds. In some cases, their parents are gone. They're dead. Other cases, they're in prison. Other cases, there's addictions. Other cases, abandonment. And in others, would be something like a young mother who has no education. She sells candy in buses, makes about $3, $4 a day, and she cannot raise a child on $3 to $4 a day in a slum. She comes to us and says, please, if my child stays with me, she or he will be lost in a gang-infested environment. Would you help me raise my child? We take that child in, and we help raise them. Our hope is that that child at the age of 17 will be able to go back into their home environment and lift them up and be 11. And so we're not just pulling the kids out of their environment completely. We're training them so they can go back and be 11 for their family or their relatives or their environment so they can be missionaries. I often mention to the kids, if they have a free weekend and they go to visit relatives or whatever family system they might have, I say, you're not going on vacation. You are going on mission. And the kids repeat that. The children who come to us, they often are missing years of school. Because if the family is so poor, they don't have money for uniforms, they don't have money for school supplies, and so the children don't go to school. When they come to us and they're missing 3-4 years of school, we have to start from zero with them. They come with health issues because they're living in a difficult environment that lacks hygiene or where there's lots of parasites. Question that I often ask is, where would these kids be if there were no Casa Hogar? The answer is rather obvious, that many of them would be totally lost. I'd like to give a couple of examples. We have a girl. She is now just about 14. 2 years ago, she had a difficult time, and you know, lots of young people, as they go through the passage of life, they have a difficult time, and she said, I want out, and she ran away. She ran back to her family. Her family is so dysfunctional. Her brothers are in gangs, but she wanted absolute freedom. She would go home to sleep, but her parents were not able to help her in any way. And she would roam the streets during the day. I went to her and I told her, I said, you are going to be absolutely lost if you stay in this environment. She blew me away. I said, when you're ready to talk, you look me up. We take care of her two little brothers. About 4 months later, she came and she said, Father, my life is not good. This is a little girl. She says, I can see that if I stay where I am, a lot of bad things are going to happen. She said, can I come back? I said, you can, but it won't be easy. I need a commitment, and I need you to apologize to the other children here. She said, I'll do it. She wrote a gorgeous letter, a long letter, in which she said, I am so sorry for having run away. I will never, ever do this again. She said, I want to be somebody in this life. And she said, I make a commitment that I will be a good sister and a good daughter at Casa Hogar. Well, that's about 2 years ago now. I use this story because this past week, reports came out, report cards. See, she was top student in her classroom. But then when she quit, after a month, they kicked her out. She lost the whole year. lost everything. When she came back, we went to the school and said, would you please take her back even though she's 5 months behind? They said, no. We said, in the name of Casa Hogar, we will support her, we will tutor her, we'll catch her up. They said, with your name, we'll do it. That little girl caught up. She did not lose the year. And this past week, when I called up, she said, Father, did you see my report card? I said, I sure did. They sent me a copy of it. And I said, I want to go through it. I brought it up on my phone. I said, okay, let's go through every grade. You got in communication, A. You got in this class, A plus. Every class was A plus, except for one, English. She got A. Average for all, A plus. She was proud as punch. So she said, yeah, things are going well, Father. This little girl is going to be the leader in her family in the future. Where would she be if there were no Casa Hogar? And she will be the leader for her little brothers to be able to lift them up so that they can go back and be the leaders. Second example. Years ago, before I was placed there, I was a volunteer doing lots of visits over the years, for 20-some years. I met a 13-year-old girl, her name Maria del Carmen. Maria del Carmen, nice girl, and she went through the system very well. And when she graduated, she was one of the few that this has ever happened to, was adopted. She was adopted to a couple in Italy, in Rome. The only one we've ever sent to another country like this. But when she got there, things went badly with the family. The family was very difficult with her, and she had to leave the family and live all alone in Rome, Italy. I was vocation director, and so I would have to go to Rome and visit, and I would look her up. And we had visits. I had her meet Cardinal Burke. I had her meet Archbishop Listecki. Well, we've been out of communication for a year or so, and she called me this past week, and she asked a couple favors, and then she said, Father, I want to thank you. This is the paragraph that she wrote this week. Father, buenos dias. I thank you with all my heart. I can never thank enough all of you at Casa Hogar for the help that you have given to me at all times of my life until now. I thank God for having placed in my path people as noble as all of you. Many thanks, and I will do my best to be a good Catholic woman. Cardinal Burke is going to baptize her daughter this week. I love you all, and I send many hugs and kisses to everyone at my Casa Hogar. This girl is now 31 years old. And so we just got on WhatsApp together, because now that with social communication is getting easier and easier. Well, now she's calling me every couple of days. Buenos dias, padre, what are you doing? And it's neat to have this kind of relationship with these children who are now adults. The work that we do with these kids starts, we work with the children. We work with their families. We work with them when they graduate so they can get a technical degree so that they can transition into life without falling over the cliff, which so often and easily happens. We work with the Project Milk, and we get milk not only for our house but for other orphanages. We get glasses for the eyeglass mission, which is not only for our kids but other orphanages and for 2,000 people that live around us. Look at what Casa Hogar is doing. It impacts the lives of many different kinds of people. Also, another part of it, which goes back to Father Joe Walieski, in the 90s, he said, I want to form future missionaries. He said, I will call it reverse mission. He says, I will not only ask for money from the parishes, I ask for young people to go down. We are booked 2 years down the road. with volunteers who come to us. We get about 150 per year. They come and they stay with us. Large groups will stay for a week or 2 weeks. Smaller groups or individuals will stay with us for a month, 3 months, 6 months, even to a year. And these experiences change their lives forever. We are now getting some graduate students from Germany, but we've got them from different countries as well, but mostly from this diocese. And when they get done, they go back and they say, now I want to serve God and I want to serve others. They're learning how to be missionaries. So this is, in a nutshell, the work that we do at Casa Hogar that started with Father Joe Walieski. He died in 2006. Father Sebastian took over for 13 years, from 2000 when he retired till 2013. I've been down there now for six and a half years. Father Joe Walieski, because he was such a model for us, I went to his funeral in 2006, and people said to me, they said, I have heard of Madre Teresa de Calcuta, Mother Teresa. I've heard of Juan Pablo II, the Pope John Paul, but this is the only saint that I actually knew. And they tell stories after stories of what he did for them. I did the interviews for the canonization of Father Joe Walieski in South America. Every interview is another chapter in inspiration of a man who lived Pentecost. He lived the relationship with Jesus Christ. He lived that relationship with the indwelling of Father, Son, and Spirit. He lived, as St. Paul says in the second reading, according to the Spirit, not of the flesh. And with that passion that he had for other people to serve them and to serve God, he changed many lives. I have a prayer card in the back that I invite you to please take. Come to the back and pick that up. Lots of little miracles and big miracles that we've had. I ask you to take this brochure that is in your bench. Take it home, read it. It explains also the sponsorship program that we have. I asked the servers here before Mass, I said, where do you go to school? Right here. I said, what girl do you sponsor? And they said, there's a girl named Sarah. Yeah, I showed them a video of Sarah greeting the people and saying, thank you. Thank you for your help that you give to me and to all of us here at Casa Hogar. I will take a picture of that school. I've got, if anybody wants to make a short video to send back to Sarah, and if you sponsor any other child, talk to me after Mass. The children love to hear from their sponsors. Take the brochure home. If you want any more information, it's right in the back. Take this envelope home. The second collection next week is for Casa Hogar. Whatever you put in this envelope, 100% of it goes to the children at Casa Hogar. Put cash, put a check, write the check to the parish here, and then Father Wehner will cash that and put it all in one big check, which will go to our children at Casa Hogar. I'm coming up on the four most difficult months of the year, July, August, September, October. These are the most difficult months because donations go down because of vacations and getting ready for school. We are in the thick of things because our kids don't go on vacation till December, till January. And therefore, when I do this appeal, I'm not asking for surplus. I'm asking because we absolutely need all of this to be able to run our house for the next 4 months. The children also do their acts of thanks. We have Mass 7 days a week. Monday through Friday, Mass is at 6:15 in the morning. We get five-year-olds up, 5 to 17-year-olds. They go to Mass almost every day. And we pray every day for the benefactors. That is a petition at every single Mass for our benefactors. And the children make rosaries. They make them during Lent. They make them all through the year. And we make somewhere around 4,000 rosaries in a year, along with bracelets and necklaces. Everybody who visits our house gets a bracelet or a rosary or a necklace. And we send 2,500 rosaries to Bishop Callahan to be able to give to all the confirmandi in the Diocese of La Crosse. So that's a kind of nutshell that we have for us at Casa Hogar. It is changing lives, impacting the lives of the children who are there, their families, those who have graduated, others in the community, and it impacts our diocese because we, in the process, are doing the reverse mission in which we are making, forming the future missionaries for our diocese. In the name of the children, thank you. Help us. Thank you for whatever you can do to help aid this important mission that is helping all of us. Thank you.